Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Cynthia Rose, and I'm very grateful to be here with you. I just want to mention a couple of things. You can connect on Facebook through Cynthia Rose Medium. There is a Cynthia Rose Medium group that Brendan is monitoring right now as we speak. And I would love to connect with you there. You can always listen to the shows again on Om Times or on YouTube. There's also Om Times, and there's also Cynthia Rose Medium YouTube. Be grateful if you would subscribe to that and like my Facebook page. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your comments about what you like about the show. So I'm very excited today. We have a very special guest, Jane Ritter Patrick. And she is calling us all the way from Scotland. Are you there, Jane?
I am indeed, Cynthia Rose.
Well, it's very good to talk to you. I prepared a lot for the show. I read your new book, A Handbook of Medical Astrology. Mm-hmm. It was very, very interesting. I really got to see how in-depth medical astrology is, and it's fascinating to me. I just want to say you're trained as a pharmacist, a naturopath, a herbalist, a psychotherapist, and historian. You also write, you consult, and do lectures on astrology, correct?
That's correct, yes, indeed.
Yes, and calling us from the UK, and I also heard that you just won an award for your work in astrology.
I did. Oh, it was. I felt really excited about that. It was the Charles Harvey Award for Exceptional Service to Astrology, and it was such an honor to receive it. Thrilled to bits.
And so for our listeners in some parts of the world may know what that's about, but can you tell us? I looked it up a little bit, Charles Harvey Award. He was an astrologer, yes? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, he was an astrologer. He was president of the Astrological Association of Great Britain for many years, and he was a wonderful supporter of astrologers of all kind. And sadly, he died in 2000, very early. And to honour his memory, this prize has been set up, this award has been set up for each year it's awarded for someone who has given exceptional service to astrology in some way. And I was given it for the contribution to medical astrology, and also my PhD is in history, which I did on the history of astrology in early modern Scotland. So that's why I was given it, I believe.
Wow. And I can see that there are other honored people, people that I certainly respect that have received this award prior. When I looked at the list, I thought, wow, that's kind of like getting the Oscar of astrology over there.
You know, it is. Especially the first person was Liz Green, who is just up there with the gods, practically.
Right, exactly. I saw that. Liz Green, Rob Hand. I was looking at these names going, wow. So, yeah, I know my astrology teacher years ago, spoke highly of Rob Hand, Dane Rudyard, certain people. And so I do know some of the older names.
Yes.
So anyway, so today we're talking about you. You have a practice in Edinburgh. You work with people on phone, on the lines. I guess what I'd like to start with just is a little bit about you, maybe what got you into astrology, just a few minutes of personal, how you got into it. That's always interesting. Yeah.
Well, I went to medical school to become a psychiatrist because I wanted to be like Jung. When I was 14, I read his autobiography, and I thought, wow, I found my life purpose. I want to understand how people are wired up. Went to medical school and realized that that was not the way that medical school worked. Went into pharmacy and herbal medicine. But I was still always looking for something. And one of my friends was on a course in herbal medicine that I was on, and she was into astrology, and she did my chart. And I was quite shaken because I'd always had a bit of a scientific background. And it just felt, oh my goodness, I felt seasick for about 3 years after I met it. I came across it because I couldn't just understand, how does this thing work? None of us knows how it works, but it's just awe-inspiring, as you know, Cynthia Rose, how accurate it can be, don't you think?
Oh, it's just amazing. I mean, I grew up around an astrologer, and I call myself a lazy astrologer when it came to knowing all the aspects and, you know, but, you know, I was a teenager and I was very intuitive, but astrologer became a mentor for me. But, you know, something would happen and he'd say, oh, you know, that's Saturn. Oh, you know, I mean, I went through my Pluto thing in the Pluto, and oh, yeah, that happened, and Saturn. And it was just like it was like a constant thing. And I used to actually take people to him that needed to have their chart done. And a lot of my lessons were just watching him do a chart, and then he'd talk about the chart with me. So it was kind of live, because after the basic, he'd say, well, you have to interpret and you have to read this book. And honestly, I just, I think there was a part of me that almost went the opposite. Like, there's no way that could be in there, but it always was.
I know. And I think that's a wonderful way to learn it, to learn by watching someone.
Yes, and I think that, to me, you know, the as above, so below, that interconnected, I didn't hear that for a long time. And when I heard that, I don't remember where I heard it, I went, okay, now it makes sense. Because when people would say, well, you know, I've got Uranus on the first house, so blah, 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 I think, well, that's kind of a negative attitude to think that way. I mean, you know, I kind of believe we all came in with a certain, that there's possible that we came in with a certain imprint for a reason. So to come here and then say, I didn't pick that. Look what I got. I got the bad deck and the bad card in the deck. I'm like, well, that doesn't really make sense.
No. No, because every single planet, every single sign in the house has got a huge, long spectrum of possibilities, from positive to negative, from inner to outer, from doer to done to. And we can move up the spectrum once we understand ourselves better. And if we don't understand ourselves, we've got very few choices. And that's what astrology can give us. It can give us the owner's manual, if you like, and guidance on how to make our lives better and make other people's lives better, if we will.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we share a love of Jung in that, you know, I don't think I was 14 when I read anything of his. I was in my 20s, but I loved Carl Jung, and I ended up doing some shadow work and learning about the shadow and the power of that. And that was so powerful. And I read his life story. And I mean, I just could never understand why psychiatry didn't necessarily include Jung, because
exactly.
It's so rich. Yeah.
It is. But no, so mainstream psychiatry does not include things like that. I was shocked as well to discover that. That's why I didn't go on with it.
Isn't it? So many people have found their paths by starting out down one road and going to the other. But so I was going to say, like, so I just want to mention, if anybody's interested in reading her book, A Handbook of Medical Astrology, it is very interesting. It's available in paperback and Kindle on Amazon or on your site. Mm-hmm. On Amazon.
Okay. On Amazon, yeah.
Okay, so, and you got to take your time with it. I read it in the morning, so I was, you know, bright, because I tried reading in the evening. It's like, there's a lot of information there. The thing that amazes me about astrology is how there are these little areas. For instance, maybe we could talk a little bit about your services, because I know there was a question I had with you about electional versus others. Maybe we could just talk a little bit about what you do for people. And then we'll have callers. We will have some callers calling in.
Okay. Well, what I like to do is to take three strands. We take the illness, we take the person's chart, astrological chart, which can tell us about their psychology, and it can always also tell us about the relationship between the psychology, the astrology, and the illness. And by looking at these three strands, I like to find out what is the story. What's the story that this person's been telling themselves about the illness, and get to the deep psychological meaning behind it. And then we look, refer back to the chart, see where that is in the chart, and see how can we upgrade that. And it's fascinating work getting to the root of the person's story. Because there's all sorts of different reasons why people get ill. It's not just bad luck, it's not just bad management. There are a whole variety of reasons, and once we've established some of these, we can work with it. I could maybe tell you a little story about one client. Have we got time?
I would love that, yes.
And I never tell stories about clients unless I've got their full permission to do so, and this one I do have. This lady came to me, and she had a whole raft of illnesses like migraine, anxiety, and frequent bowel movements and eye problems. But she said that the thing that really bothered her most was a verruca. I don't know whether you call them plantar warts, a wart in the bottom of your foot?
Yes. Yes.
And she couldn't
put her finger down. I think we call them irritating.
Yes. Well, yeah. This lady had this plantar wart for 20 years, and she'd thrown everything at it. Nothing had shifted it whatsoever. So we worked with it. I work with word association. Jung did that too. I learned from him. And visualizations. To cut through all the mental stuff we talk about. And she visualized for the wart, it was a tiny little green dragon who was terribly afraid to go out in the world, and was very fearful, even though, you know, he had all the qualities to go out in the world. So we worked with this for a while. And the dragon gave her some advice to go out in the world, to trust and to trust God. And she went away. She worked with this, and she worked with her fears. And the dragon was associated with her Mars energy. So when we worked with it, after three months afterwards. This plantar wart, which she'd had for 20 years, wasn't budging, had shrunk to a third of the size. She could now put her foot down properly in every sense of the word. You know, putting your foot down physically, and putting her foot down when people were trying to overwrite her will and trying to just not be not very nice to her. So that's, I haven't explained it desperately well, but that's what we can do. We can transfer it from the unconscious to the conscious and work with the energy, in this case Mars energy. So that's a little story.
Oh, very very interesting. Yeah, it's not lost on me the metaphor there, and it's mm-hmm. kind of amazing how the metaphor of Landrieu holds up. You know, if we talk about how what Louise Hay did, mm-hmm. and you know, it's that has always amazed me and probably upset me at times too.
Well, it does, because you see, once we bring it to consciousness, I mean, it's so obvious, yeah, it's quite extraordinary what happens when we do that. I was going to say something; it's gone right out my head, but never mind. You know, so
that's okay. It'll come back.
Or it won't. To be in a lie. Yeah.
So
the language of the unconscious is metaphor, and so it's actually sort of translating that into plain English and then translating it into psychology and into astrology and doing all these translations all together. We can come to the core of the problem and do something about it.
Very important.
You
know, it's interesting you're talking about that. It looks like we're going for a break here. So, and I'm sure the producer will let us know when our caller is going to call in. Mm-hmm. So, we're going for a little break early. Okay. We will be right back. Grab a glass of water and join us. Jane Ritter Patrick is my guest.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back from break, and producer has let us know, Jane, that we have a caller on the line, Beverly, and you have her chart information with you, yes?
I do indeed. Hello, Beverly.
Hello, Jane. How are you?
I'm well. And you?
Right. I'm excellent. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
So we've got pleasure. Three countries on the all together here. I love it.
We do. Wow. I'm calling from Canada.
Lovely. And are you okay with me talking about the information you gave me?
Absolutely, Jane. I'm very transparent. And if this will help somebody else, by all means, go right ahead.
That's wonderful. Well, you talked about a couple of things, food intolerance and fibroids.
Yes.
So when somebody comes with some kind of complaint, I always look at when it started to see what stressful events were going on at that time. And you mentioned that the fibroids started around 2001. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Well, you were having such a lot going on at the time. I'm not surprised that it was a bit stressful for you. You had Saturn going over your sun in 2000, and what that means is that you were trying to, life was demanding that you look at, who are you, Beverly? Where from here? What are you about? You were at the end of a 30-year cycle and the beginning of a new one. You also had, I won't give you the astrological terms, but there was a time, I don't think you felt terribly supported at that time. I think there was a lot of uncertainty around your home life. And it was not, just put it this way, it was not difficult. It was not easy for you. So I'm not surprised something started. I think you felt very unsupported at that time. And you were probably helping everybody around you, and too many people, too many demands on you. And the question also was, what about me? Who helps me? But for some reason, you probably felt blocked about that. And the reason for that is you've got your moon in Capricorn, and Capricorn is very, very dutiful. You're a responsibility magnet, actually. And you do things for other people.
I do.
You recognize that?
Oh, do I? And at the time, I was a registered nurse when all this transpired.
Yes, yeah. And I really don't. I think you were just overloaded with giving care for other people.
Oh, I was.
Yeah. And also, you've got your Mars, which is your energy, your drive, your push, your assertiveness. Is squaring your moon. So when we get the moon with Mars, usually there's a fear of asserting yourself and saying no, and cutting back, because the fear is if you do that, you'll lose what very little support you have. So the fear can turn inwards, or the fear or the anger can turn inwards, and that can be one cause of. Or one factor associated with fibroids. And when it came to having the operation in 2011, Saturn was squaring your moon. Moon is, again, it's about nurturing, and it was opposite your Mars. So we have this part of your chart picked up again. So for that kind of thing, I would be suggesting you might look at how you use your assertiveness. How you learn to say absolutely no when it's too much for you. Because what can happen with this is you can just get burnt out, or get something like fibroids. Can't get them now, though. Now, the food intolerance, you mentioned you were a medium. Is that right?
I am.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, it's interesting because what in your chart that describes the food intolerance is exactly the same aspect that is associated with being a medium. Makes you so sensitive that you can pierce the veil, as it were. But at the moment,
okay.
Does it? Yeah. But at the moment, you're also that part has been over the last few years has been transited, in other words, sort of stirred up. So it is really, really important to eat pure foods. You know, none of this processed foods or as little as possible. Pure foods not too much of it. You've got your sun in Taurus, and that can actually be quite retentive. Do you tend to put on weight easily?
Oh, absolutely.
Or are you quite... Yeah. Well,
Jean.
No, go on.
No, in the last few years, my weight has crept up, and mm-hmm. I've noticed that my cravings, as my mediumship has increased, my energy, my sensitivities have increased. So it's just, and it's not that I overeat and I'm exercising, mm-hmm. I just tend to hold on to that weight. It's harder to shift it.
Well, do you know, as a medium, you need something to anchor you. And some mediums go the way of anchoring through weight. It doesn't have to be like that.
No.
You also need to, with Sun, Neptune, what you've got, you need to be cleansing yourself after each session, just mm-hmm. to make sure you don't hold on to any stuff, as it were, from the session.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought you've got three planets in Taurus, and that is very retentive. And, you know, you can do things like meditations to help process what you've been through. And you can turn in your meditation and ask for inner guidance about how to prevent yourself putting on weight. You know, you'll get ideas. You could do it through visualization. You do that, do you?
Okay.
Do you work with visualization?
I do, I do. And it's funny, I just spent a half an hour meditating this afternoon as well, which I'm slowly mm-hmm. increasing that. So thank you for
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, these are the main things. I would certainly be looking at that Moon Mars that you've got and get proper boundaries. Really, really, really learn to say no when it's just not right for you, because you'll be able to give more of yourself or more to other people if you also, or first rather, give to yourself. Yeah. And also you need.
I agree.
Do you have enough
can I just
joy
ask,
in your life?
Just Beverly, can you just respond to some of what she's been saying? Is this what's going on in your life right now? Is it all making sense? You know, just give us a little
feedback.
It
makes 100% sense. And with setting boundaries, Jane, I learned to do that about 3 years ago
mm-hmm.
because I had to. And, you know, because as women, we think we can help everyone. And part of me had to step back and say, I'm not happy. Unless I'm happy, then, and I figure out what makes me happy at a soul level,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not my job to make everybody else happy. And I learned to say no, and it was a very powerful word. Very powerful. I remember my husband looking at me the first time and going, oh, no, I don't know what that is. And I went back to what I was doing. And the energy exchange was like, excuse me, you're not going to go find that? Nope.
Yes.
And I've learned a lot with clients and friends, and I check in with my body more than anything to say, how does it make me feel?
Yes. And the other thing, how much pleasure do you have in life? Because you've got your Venus in Gemini, and you need to have lighthearted fun as well as the deep stuff that you work with. And you also, at times, it would be really good to have a good argument with your husband. Stick up for yourself. It just makes it so much more fun.
Okay, I want to hear her response on that one.
I have the most easygoing, sweetest husband. And after 29 years of marriage, we do have our ups and downs, don't get me wrong. Some days we want to go through and probe each other to the wall. However, I'm very blessed that way, that if I want to, I was just in Denver for a week, and he supports me 100%. So I'm very blessed that way. He's very supportive of my mediumship. I agree with you on being more lighthearted and being sillier and letting my hair down, because I don't do that. You know, I tend to have a shut off valve, you know, and I find that the universe will just shut me off. I'll say, if I'm going to go out drinking with some friends, I get shut off after about 2 drinks. I'm like, oh, I'm good. I'm thanks. That's it. That's all I need to do. Staying up late. Nope. I get shut down again. It's like, okay, go to bed. And that's a hard one to get past.
Yes.
Mm. Well, I'm with you. I'm with you there, Beverly. I mean, I'm listening to that whole path of sensitivity I've walked too, but maybe our sense of letting loose and having fun is different than other people's too.
And I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. So my idea of fun is not going out and spending an evening, you know, having too much to drink and then spending 2 days to recover.
No. Oh, no, you might not do that. Really, not with your chart.
No.
Oh, no.
I can't do that anyway, Jake. No, I'm saying no. I haven't done it in a long time, and I don't plan on doing that. But it's just, I think as Cynthia said, it's our idea of fun and letting our hair down is very different
yes.
in terms of what motivates me and what excites me and which really touches me at a soul level. It gets me excited. It's very different from most people.
I think so. And also, this is a really spiritual chart. You need to be plugged into the mains rather than working off your own batteries. So, you know, a return to spirit and, you know, being refreshed by that is so important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is, and that's what refreshes me 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Great. Have you any other questions?
So the food intolerances, and it's something because there's a correlation there, Jane, with what you said with that, is mm-hmm. the more I opened up and became aware of my mediumship, and the more I opened it up, the more I use it every day, the more intense the food insensitivities have become.
Mm-hmm.
So that resonates 100% with me. That makes
mm-hmm.
so much
And that's why you need the pure intake, the pure air, the pure foods, the pure thoughts. It's like as you clear the channel, it's a bit like, you know, you start, it's like a room that's got all sorts of clutter in it. And as you take the clutter away, you know, you can see the white carpet there and any speck of clutter starts to really affect you. So it's because you're being cleansed. That's why, you know, you need to be more particular. This big transit, that it will pass in time, in a year or so, but it's still part of the care and maintenance of this wonderful gift that you've been given for this life.
Thank you. It makes so much sense.
Good. Oh, very
so
pleased
can I ask
about
you one
that.
More question? So
sure.
They were uterine fibroids, and that's been removed.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Now I still have ovaries, and there's still a fibroid in one of those as well.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
again, in time, will that, with the purity and just, I may have changed my diet as well. Do you think that would make mm-hmm. some difference as well, Jane?
Well, that should certainly be very helpful. The fibroids are how I know you said you feel very supported by your husband, and with the Sun and Jupiter in the house of marriage, I'm not surprised at all. But how supported do you feel otherwise? Are you getting enough support? Are you asked? Yeah, you see, with your Moon in Capricorn, even though there's a lot of support there, you may not be open to receiving it. So that would be something I would question.
That's a downfall.
Mm-hmm. So, and what that comes down to is a kind of control issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you manage your life, you know, you shouldn't need anybody else. And if somebody gives to you, there's a kind of partially a fear of being beholden, and partially a fear of, you know, I'm not in control anymore, and that's scary. And it's something to be to be worked with, to be pondered, because we're never in control. That's
no, and I know that.
The management is in control.
I totally respect that, 100%. And I think we're the worst ones for the control. Okay. No, I appreciate that, Jane, and your directness. Thank you.
Well, you're doing some wonderful work.
Yes,
thank you.
She is.
And thank you. So are you.
Yes, she is.
I can't think of any other questions.
Okay.
I can't think of any other questions. Jane got it. It was perfect. It was bang on.
I'm pleased.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thank you. It was great to have you on the show, Beverly. And I'm glad that you got your questions answered.
I did. And thank you, Cynthia, for having me. And thank you, Jane, for answering those for me.
My great pleasure, Beverly.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
All right. So,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I know that we're going to go to a break soon, and then we will have another caller calling in, Nancy, who's already given you her birth information. But I know we'll be going to a break in just a moment. So, there it is. See, I knew it was coming. So we'll be back with Jane Ritter Patrick in just a couple of minutes.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back with Jane Ritter Patrick. And just before we bring our other caller on, I just want to remind you that if you're interested in having a consultation, they can either be in person in Edinburgh, Scotland, or via telephone or Skype, or, you know, anywhere in the world. So, Jane, I believe we have Nancy on the line. Are you there, Nancy?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Hello, Nancy.
Say hello. Okay. I'll let you take it away.
So, hello, Nancy. It's lovely to hear from you. Hi.
It's a privilege to be here.
That's lovely. All the information I've got here is that you have inflammatory pain that started in 2007. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Right. So, whenever I hear the word inflammation, I immediately look at the planet Mars in a person's chart, because Mars is about energy, assertiveness, drive, push. It's how you push through your will through in the world. And when our Mars is for some reason blocked, then we get anything from inflammation to fear to phobias, to reddening of the skin, and so on. So I would be looking at your Mars energy. Also, and I will come back to this shortly, also I look at what was going on in your chart when this first began. So my goodness, in 2007, oh my goodness, you were being hammered, weren't you? There was going on. Gee, talk about stress. So let me.
Yeah, it was a very difficult time. Yeah.
That's putting it extremely mildly. I'll just go through some of them. You had the planet Saturn on the base of your chart. Now, the base of your chart talks about your home life. It talks also not only the home life that you're living now as an adult, but how you were brought up. It's the conditions in the early family home. It's also the traditions of the family and the culture you were brought up in. Now, when Saturn goes over the base of the chart, it's called the IC, it's time for us to become independent, or more independent, and to become more realistic and oft about the family past, and also sometimes to revisit parts of our childhood so that we can leave them behind, sort them and leave them behind. So when I look at your chart, there's some lovely bits in the childhood, but I think your childhood, I don't think by any stretch of the imagination was easy. Am I right?
You know, people say that, but I think when it's what you live and what you know, you just kind of adapt and get used to it. So, yeah, you're probably right. Most people do not think of it as easy. Yeah.
No. I think it was a bit unpredictable, and there may have been some emotional atmospheres that could have been quite difficult for a young child. You know, there was it wasn't absolutely balanced, there was some difficult things. I mean, possibly secrets, and sometimes it's even not very big secrets, but any secret around a home upsets a child because they wonder what's behind it.
Sure.
Also, and you know, a lot of this stuff may have been sort of carried down the generations. So at a level that might not even have been conscious all through to 2007 and a good bit beyond it, all of this stuff would have been coming up for process, and it would have brought with it to clear it, you would have needed some kind of assertiveness or anger, and I don't think that it doesn't look as though you maybe had the resources to deal with that at that time. do you recognize that?
Yeah. It's putting it mildly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to put it mildly, because you see, you can't just by looking at a chart see how very serious something was or how otherwise, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. You know what was going on, and I'm just hopefully shining a bit of a spotlight on the area, and you can fill in the gaps. And
sure,
it's clear
sure.
That laugh that you did just do that, didn't you?
I think that's partially what is so confusing now, is I thought I had worked through a lot of that even at the time. I was very conscious of the stress and the things that were happening, and it did, you're right on target. It really took me kind of looking at my life, what I expected from it, what I thought I was doing in my relationships, from a whole different perspective. And I was pretty open and receptive to that. I am very adaptable to change. Although I, you know, I like the comfort and security of what I know, I also, I think I adapt well and am always ready to move on when it needs be. And so I thought I had worked through a lot of that, which is why I find this lingering, these lingering issues still so concerning.
Right, right. Well, I can understand that. Well, I don't know where your information was. I can guess, but I'm not going to say it on radio because you haven't given me permission for that. There are several ways of working with it. And also, a lot of these issues, especially deep issues like you've been dealing with, they go on and they just uncover layers after layers after layers until it is done. There has been stuff recently that you should be getting over. There's something here I was going to say. Oh, yeah. I was going to say also about childhood. I'm not sure how much permission you had to really show your emotions. I don't think you were truly allowed to be a little spontaneous child, a little girl who can have all the fun. I think you had to earn love, as it were. And, you know,
you are good. You are real good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And you see, that pattern persists in life. So I think that is one of the patterns that I would be looking at. And there's another pattern I would be looking at, which is your son in Cancer, square Mars. Now, these are both water signs. Cancer, and again, where we get Mars energy, we can all often be afraid of standing up for ourselves. Because, and in your case, with a Cancer sun, the terror is that you're going to be humiliated or even worse, you're going to be abandoned or not approved of or just, you know, you're really humiliated in some way, and that is terrifying for a Cancer sun. And also the quality of your anger when you get into it is pretty, shall we say, strong. You're possibly afraid of your own anger. Could that be true?
You know, I really don't know that I express anger well. I'm not sure. Usually it ends up, it's like, it's a type of energy I can't maintain. I can't express it well, and then it builds up, and then it turns, I just become overwhelmed and become tired and depressed. I literally can't express anger.
Yeah, and that's where it's turning inwards as inflammatory pain. Did you say write something about an invisible inflammatory pain?
I think that's a good way to describe it, because most people that see me would never guess the throbbing chronic pain that I have. You know, I'll lie in bed for half an hour in the morning before I can get up. And I think Cynthia even seemed a bit surprised when she's like, you'd want one of these readings? And I had to kind of laugh because we have met, and I think she that may have, Cynthia, tell me if I'm right or wrong, but you may have been kind of like, really? You know,
no, it was just your comment when you said it. I thought you were joking because of the way you said it. It was just your wording. I wasn't you personally that I thought you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Want it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But it is one of those things that other people don't notice. So once again, you know, that fits well, I guess, with the Capricorn moon, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't need to be expressed because most people aren't even really aware of it.
Well, and also the Capricorn moon, especially with Saturn, tends to say, oh, just get on with it. You say that to yourself, and you're not going to be
the fuck. Absolutely.
You know, stiff upper lip, yeah? But
absolutely.
You've got your Mars is in Scorpio, And that can be really corrosive if it turns inward. So also cancer.
I can attest to that.
Really?
I can attest to that because my Mars is in Scorpio, and when Pluto was within 2 degrees of my Mars, I had an accident, and I had to deal with the anger thing and the chronic pain thing. So I can attest to that. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing that's really interesting about all of this, and I think you know, Jane, you have the ability to see my whole chart, so you can see. Mm-hmm. There are probably other things going on that make me less likely to look at my Mars. You know, I mean, yes. I think that that giant T-square pretty much dominated at least the first half or 75% of my life. It drives you, it motivates you, it keeps you going. Mm-hmm. So as much introspection and reflection and, you know, as much as I try to do to stay in tune with this, that Mars and Scorpio doesn't really get a lot of attention. So this has been even really already very helpful. You know?
Well, you've had Uranus squaring your sun. So you know, it's freedom time from a lot of these patterns. And you've also got Uranus at the moment. Opposite your Mars, and so it's a wonderful, wonderful time to be working with these patterns and moving out of them. And that Moon Saturn, that can make you, can really drive you, push you forward, make you very successful in the world, you know, with an effort. But this, the Mars is right, is down at the bottom of the chart, and you know that the stuff from childhood is pretty complicated. You know, it takes a good bit of teasing out. So, but you know, you couldn't be working with it at a better time. And and when Pluto opposes your Sun, which will be in a few years' time, that'll really, really help you get you know, bring stuff to the surface and eliminate it. And what would be useful is to, if you notice yourself being a little bit resentful about anything, I mean, that's a normal Cancer trait, just pull that up to the surface, pull it to the light, sort of shake it in the sunlight, and let it go. And that just brings it out of the darkness. And it's perfectly normal. You know, there's no reason to sort of chastise yourself about that. It's part of the spectrum, and it's just a sign that something needs to be looked at.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other questions?
No, you've been really helpful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time you spent today.
My pleasure.
Okay. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. And I just wanted to ask you, so with your, you know, herbalist, pharmacist, do you work with clients? Do you suggest herbs to them? I noticed you mentioned that in your book.
I've more or less given up. I'm so interested in the story, what's really going on, because that is the part that heals. I may get back into herbs later on, but I'm very keen on healthy, naturopathy, pure naturopathy, not the supplement kind of naturopathy, because there's two things that can help prevent unnecessary illness, and I think some illnesses may be necessary for your life path, but the two things that can help prevent unnecessary are a pure lifestyle, eating proper food, sleeping properly, exercising properly, resting properly. And the second thing is working with our transits, working with life events as they come, and doing that as well as we possibly can. And that prevents any unnecessary illness. And as I say, some illness is part of our life pattern to help us come to awareness, consciousness, and spirituality.
Sure. Well, I think the work you do is great. I know that, you know, I can speak from experience. My mentor, I had a terrible accident years ago, and is back in 1990, and 3 months after, there I was sitting on the couch, and he was looking at my chart, and I hadn't talked to him for a year, so he didn't even know anything. And he said, here's what's going on. Here's how you have to work with the energy. Here's what you have to do. And as I said, Pluto was right on top of my Mars. It was 17 degrees, and my Mars, my natal Mars in Scorpio, you know, sitting there.
Yep.
And, okay, so I had to look at anger. And so I went out and bought an anger book. And you're going to laugh when you hear this. I bought that book twice, and the second time didn't even know I'd read the book. So I have to say, I am one who can definitely attest to having your chart done to help you work with the energies if you have health issues. Yeah. It's definitely an important thing. I know we just have a couple of minutes left. We're getting pretty close, and I just want to mention your website before we go. JaneRitterPatrick.com, and I'll be posting on my Facebook page a little thing about it. Thank you so much for calling us all the way from Scotland and helping these two ladies and sharing what you do. Thank
my
you
pleasure,
so much, Jane.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.